Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of music power in part and mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm always delighted to bring musicians on the show because so many times they have such a creative application with their music. One of those special musicians that I've had the good fortune to cross paths with is Amy Hyneman. And Amy was on my show a while back, and she has come out with a new CD called In My Waking Dream. And it has this beautiful Monet-like landscape that's on its cover, which is just exquisite. I want to welcome to the airwaves Amy Hyneman. Amy, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Now, is it nice and crisp and frosty up where you are here down in the Seattle-Tacoma area? It's definitely that way.
Yes, it is. I'm just wrapped in a down blanket. The fire's getting started, and I'm really cozy. I kind of love this time of year.
Oh, so do I. I absolutely love it, especially when the sun shines. It's so great because we tell people it's pretty much gray and drippy most of the time.
Right.
We've had the most incredible, incredible time this year. And, of course, this is the holiday season, and this is such a wonderful, wonderful time. It, like you said, you're cozying up and listening to music and being inside and just having that opportunity to enjoy the gift of music, I think, is very exceptional. Amy, I want you to tell my audience a little bit about your background, because music has been a very significant part of your life, and apparently your entire family is very much involved with you. I mean, on this album, you've got Kaylin, Natalie, your granddaughter's grandma, and Natalie is in front of the microphone now, your granddaughter is. So this is being passed along in the family. Give us a little bit of background about you and how you got involved with music.
Okay. First of all, Natalie is Kaylin's granddaughter. Kaylin's
oh, I beg
my co-producer pardon. And friend, yes. I was the youngest of five. I was born in Iowa. And just very musical family. Everybody played different instruments, violin, piano, we all sang, flute, baritone, horn, you know, my brother, it was kind of painful listening to us grow up. I played the violin. That is such a hard instrument to hear somebody learn, you know.
Oh,
and then
yes.
Paul was in his bedroom just doing the baritone horn, boom, 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 boom. You know, that's all you hear. You don't hear the whole band. But we just went to musicals a lot, and we always sang in the car when we traveled, but essentially, my life experiences is pretty much what I'm writing about in the book that I'm not working on right now. I'm working on my next CD right now. But my dad was a Presbyterian minister most of my life, and he was in the Navy, chaplain, captain, before I was born. So he was in the South Pacific in a ship, and he knew what it was like to be away from family and friends at a time of war. So he and my mom wanted to go overseas and have a ministry to servicemen. So they kind mm-hmm. of built a hillside house in Korea where it was a home-like atmosphere for people to go and, you know, just family stuff. And then, so I was 5 to 9 then. And then when I was in 8th grade, we moved to Bangkok, Thailand. So I had a lot of those kinds of experiences.
Wow.
Anyway, just, you know, the music and arts were just really fun in my family, and it's just been my expression all along. I mean, I've always wanted to sing and act and all that stuff. So,
well, I find that your story about your dad very significant, because my husband enjoys singing and has been involved in music ever since he was 4 years old. And he came from a family of 10 kids.
Wow.
And he only had one other sibling, a sister, that was in music. All the others just seemed to gravitate either into sports or some other things. But there were the two of them. And he said, when you come from a family of 10 kids, especially when you had quite a bit of difference, Mama was busy for 20 years. His cycle went through 20 years of that. And so you had your older brothers. And he said he couldn't compete with his brothers in sports, but he could excel in music. And so that, you know, that is what he did. But the church, and I don't remember, I think it was a Baptist church, I'm not sure. Anyway, it was the church that he was involved in, and that's where the singing for him started. Yeah. You know, he sang in church.
Yeah.
And I think for so many people, dependent on their family environments, but I know for me, when I was growing up, that's where you sang. You were in church, and then in school, there was the music. And it was just absolutely marvelous. But you think of music in American history. You have the gospel music and so many other flavors. And here you are in your life experience, in your formative years, being involved in different cultures.
Uh-huh.
And I want we'll talk about how that evolved into one of your CDs, which was very significant. But what I want to do, I want to play your Puget Symphony. It's the first one on your CD, In My Waking Dream. And it's very poignant. And like you said, your music, your lyrics relate to personal experiences. Let's play about a minute of that first CD,
okay.
Number one. Much with your lyrics. What was it special about the summer 1980?
Well, a lot of things were special about that year. I believe Puget Symphony was the third song I'd ever written. And when I moved to the Skagit Valley, my music just started opening up. It was 1980 summer. I was living on Pull and Be Damned Road in Laconner, which was right on the Skagit Bay, beautiful. And I was coming home at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's when I was in my 20s doing that. And the moon was setting on the bay, and I just heard that tune in my head and just started writing a lot of music because I was so inspired by what was surrounding me. It was just the natural beauty. And just good friends were involved in that, too, Morty and Michael. Morty Webb is singing with me on that song and a lot of songs on this CD. He's a great singer and bass player. And Michael Wormuth is in Maui. But we all hung out together and played music together. Michael played piano and Hammer Dulcimer. And those were the guys going out to the houseboat with their girlfriends, which was very humorous because this little red houseboat was floating out in the water. And, you know, like Morty would go out with his girlfriend, and then in the morning the tide would be out, and he'd just be stuck on the ground.
Oh,
so that's
boy.
How they trapped their girlfriends, I figured, you know. So it was just a great image. That little red houseboat used to just float around, and, you know, you could see Whidbey Island on the other side of it. It was just kind of magical, magical place.
Now, Seattle Blues, now I want to mention, with that particular piece, you had the guitar, you had the bass, you had the violin, the viola, and an octave violin, and you also had percussion. So the instrumentation, you bring in a number of not just different tones, but it creates its own particular flow, and they all blend so very, very well. Seattle Blues, you only had a few compared to the first one. You have just a few instruments. And that was called Seattle Blues Island Hues. Let's play a minute of that. Tonality to it, and when someone listens to the whole piece, that Celtic feel is there. Am I wrong in my perception about that?
I love that. I love that perception. I never thought of it. They just kind of come out. It's very difficult for me to describe sometimes what genre my music is. But I love that Celtic thing, and it's probably the viola. The way Phil Heaven is an amazing musician. He was my mix engineer, and he's playing viola on a lot of these songs. And when I asked him to add some viola to that, it just blew me away. And Kaylin, my co-producer, we heard that and was like, "Wow, that just opens that song up so much." It's just so thrilling to have found these musicians and this mix engineer and, co-producers, and it's like the perfect people showed up for this.
I'm always intrigued by those of you that compose, because in my thinking, there's so many things that I can do very comfortably, but the idea of hearing a tone and knowing how to put that little black mark between those lines, saying this is a flat, this is a sharp, this is how we go, this is how we flow, this is what we do. I look at it and it's like it's an indecipherable language. I go, how does anybody ever figure this stuff out?
Well, let me tell you, that's an indecipherable language to me too. I don't do it that way. I mostly play by ear. I do the lyrics, I do the chords, and then I have a vision of what the sounds are, and when I bring in a musician and they do something to it, I give feedback as to whether I like that or whether I don't, or too much of this or too much of that. I don't write it down, you know, on music sheets. I don't even know that stuff.
You're kidding.
No, it's all by ear and sound and feel, and I'd love to learn music someday. I never really did that much. I mean, I sang in choirs and I did piano and stuff, but yeah, no, it's mostly gut and ear, and then the musicians put in and however they do it, but most of the musicians I work with do the same thing. They're playing by ear. They're not, you know, they're maybe following the song lyrics, but they're just feeling it and doing what they do, and it's just exciting to watch.
Your next composition, In My Waking Dream, I found was quite interesting because it related to a very personal situation you went through. Let's play a minute of number 5, In My Waking Dream.
Okay.
There was no separation in time. Coming home to it felt so fine. At a time when your home was mine. And I don't know sometimes what to do. With our love it keeps shining through. The head tells the heart all the reasons we part. Still my be a place, maybe far beyond time and space, for our love surrounded in grace. In my waking dream, I know we are through. Parting then was the best thing to do, 'cause there was more to life than me.
Obviously, you were going through a very special situation. Tell us the story behind that song.
Well, I was married and with my partner for about 10 years. Very much in love. Very right for me. And I just was growing in a different way. I guess I was really outgrowing who I was when I got married.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was becoming a greater self pretty much, and I really wanted to go the distance with him. And it just wasn't, you know, I hung in there for quite a while, and it really wasn't going in that direction. And I felt like I was kind of dying spiritually, and I needed to move on and pursue my own life and my own dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And not be held back. So that when I had that dream, I had a dream, and, you know, it's like the love is always there. I will love him forever. But
right.
I don't want to be with him. I don't want to die because we're not going in the same direction. So when I dreamt that dream and wrote that song, it was the most amazing resolution for me. It just because I never hear people explain, you know, you hear the negative stories or you hear, I'd never heard this message, and this is the message I needed to relay, which was about the love being forever, and what do you do when the soul's so big, you can't contain that love, and that's okay. You can embrace that and be that, and it's like, I don't know what to do with our love. It keeps shining through. The head tells the heart all the reasons we part. Still, my heart knows there must be a place, maybe far beyond time and space, for our love surrounded in grace. There are no mistakes. And you know, if I had not been in that relationship, I probably wouldn't have grown the way I did, because it was a very safe place to have safe passage through my own mind and my own inner work. He was a careful partner. So,
well, I thought the lyrics, just as you expressed them just a moment ago, were very profound. Now, what I was just really surprised to see, and I was so pleased for you, is that you wrote Gandhi and King, Becoming the Dream, and this was done in January 2007, and you had sent me a copy of an email that you sent to Victor Spence, who's the international representative of Arun Gandhi, and he's the visit coordinator in Scotland to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and he's also the founder of the World Peace Tartan Initiative. But you shared with him, and I so appreciated you sending me this, that you had entered this song about Martin Luther King and Gandhi, in the Song of the Year Songwriting Contest, and your song won an honorable mention, and Paul McCartney and Sting and others recognized this piece of music in an international songwriting contest. This must have really been quite exciting for you.
Very exciting. Very exciting. You know, you think back to what I was 10 in 1963, and the Beatles were famous, and, you know, you would never get anywhere near them. And the fact that Paul McCartney heard my song and it got this recognition, I was just thrilled beyond belief. And then the Gandhi thing was even bigger, which is,
We're going to listen to a minute of this. Gandhi and King, Becoming the Dream.
Today marks the season again. Inside job to be free in the midst of confusion, pain, apathy. Love is the power to enlighten me beyond small.
An inside job to be free. Boy, those are powerful words. Absolutely powerful words. Now, you said you were 10 in 1960. Both of these men had a tremendous impression on you. And you got a beautiful comment from the grandson of Gandhi, whose name is Arun Gandhi. And believe it or not, I had him on my show about 11 years ago. He was my guest because he had written a most beautiful book about his grandmother. And it's called The Forgotten Woman. So when I saw this, all of this came back, and of course that's one of my favorite books in my library. So Arun, I've had the pleasure of interacting with him in the past, and it was just absolutely wonderful. And Arun said this: this is a beautiful song, sensitively and melodiously sung. May it touch millions of hearts around the world. Arun Gandhi, grandson of Mahatma Gandhi. Your life has touched so many different places and spaces of experience, Amy, and this is something that when you put your lyrics together, it tells a story. And I think that many times when we listen to music, it's not just the harmonics, and I want to mention that in the music, Becoming a Dream, that Natalie Drill, the little girl I mentioned, she's 6 years old, she's the granddaughter of Kaylin, by golly, she was in there singing too.
Yeah.
And you've got a photo of her, and she's just adorable.
She's amazing. That's my little studio. And she was here with her parents, Kelly and Jay, and we just kind of, they went on a cruise ship, actually, and Kaylin and I got to play with Natalie all that time, and she was 6 years old. This little girl is not only is the most precious, amazing being that I just feel honored to be with, but she's an amazing musician. And we went in the studio, and, you know, I asked her if she wanted to do it. I didn't want to pressure her at all. And she said, yeah, you know, and at one point I said something about, you know, not taking off her headphone because it might back. And then she kind of, I thought, oh, maybe she's not going to do it. And I said, do you want me to sing it with you? And she went, yeah. So I put my headphones on. Now, my part was already recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of mouthed it, and she nailed it. Like, you know, she did five tracks.
Amazing.
She's on two different songs, the Gandhi and King. Has a part, We Shall Overcome, she's singing on, and at the end she's singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star with me. And it was just a joy to do. And that's my own studio in my garage. This CD came out through my own studio. That's the first one. So
that is amazing. Well, I know we're just about running out of time, and what I want to do, Amy, I want to give out your website, amyheinman.com. And that's spelled H-I-N-D-M-A-N, Amy, A-M-Y, H-I-N-D-M-A-N.com. And, Amy, before we close out with your final song, Summer of My Dreams, is there a thought you would like to leave with my audience?
Oh, that's a hard question. I guess I just feel very honored that I get to do this, and that people, that everybody's doing their inner work right now. I think it's all very important that we do our own work with our own shadows, our own fears, our own, and realize it's our own. It isn't really out there. It isn't beyond us. And as long as we try to change things just outside of us, we're just going to be spinning wheels. And, you know, every time you feel, you know, that's why I so honor the Gandhis of the world, is that he really got that, you know, the only devils in this world we see are those running rampant in humanity. It isn't something outside of us attacking us or destroying us. It's our own inner demons that we all have, all of it. It's a planet of duality. And as long as we can focus and not, you know, project our hatred or fear or anger or confusion onto other people, you know, we will have a peaceful world.
Yes. Amy Heinman, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Your music is wonderful. And for those of you that maybe are looking for something special to give an individual this holiday season, why don't you consider checking out Amy Heinman's website, amyheinman.com. We're going to play a minute of her music. We're taking a break. This is Donna Sebo. Don't go away. We got more good things to share. Again, Amy, thank you so much. We're going to be playing her song, Summer of My Dreams. We'll be right back.
In the shade of this old tree,
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime, or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hello, and welcome back. This is Donna Sebo. I'm so delighted you've been able to join me at my broadcasting table today. Now, by the way, you can give me a call at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Phone lines are open. Tomorrow, we are going to be traveling via technology to England. Yes, we're going to be talking with Michael Eastwood about his wonderful book, Unfolding Our Light, and also about crystals. Why is this significant? Well, crystals have long been known as conductors of energy. But in what way? How did Michael get involved with it, and why has it become such a passion in his life, where he teaches around the world how people can use crystals in a very effective way? Then, of course, we all know that we've got a wonderful holiday coming up, and it's going to be an open mic day. Yes, the Donna Sebo Show is going to be live on Thursday. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Nick Redfern for Nobody's Eyes. Nick does all of this research and investigation on conspiracy things and all kinds of goodies. And then show information is already posted for the next month, so just go in and check it out, and you'll find out we've got a delicious array of wonderfully interesting and fascinating people that are going to be coming up on the Donna Sebo Show. So mark the times, check the stuff out if you have the opportunity. If your schedule is as wild and crazy as mine is, it may not be possible, but if you can, check it out. I think you'll find it extremely interesting. I wanted to share with you just a moment some thoughts, and I wanted to bring it up because I get very, very, you might say, weary of people feeling that they cannot accomplish certain things. And I wanted to share a story about a man by the name of Jonas Erskine. He was very, very well known and loved by his students. He was a professor, and he also wrote a lot of books. And he said one of the most valuable lessons that he learned as a young person came from his piano teacher. Now, he wasn't renowned for his piano skills, but he had learned something from his teacher that was extremely important. And this is what came up. His teacher one day asked him, "How many times a week do you practice, and how long do you practice each time?" Now, that's a very interesting question, isn't it? What do you think his response would be? Well, if you say he practiced every day, you probably were correct, because that's what John told his teacher. He said, "Usually I practice for an hour or more." And this is what the teacher said: "Don't do that. When you grow up, time won't come in long stretches. Practice in minutes, whenever you can find them. 5 or 10 before school, after lunch, between chores. Spread your practice
throughout the day, and music will become a part of your life. Now, as an adult, John said, when he was sharing this lesson he had learned from his piano teacher with other people, he said it really is a good formula to keep one from burning out. Now, think about that. He said he also saw it as a way to live a complete life, both as a creative writer, apart from his regular teaching duties. Now, the bulk of his most famous work, Helen of Troy, that was it, he did while he was commuting between his home and the university. Who would have thought that such a work, so detailed, would have been done while he was commuting between home and his classes? So it's be aware that you can take experiences, life, in little bites. You can do a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there, and it's amazing how things come together. And I'll share something with you that I started implementing because I'm not unlike the rest of you. I will just go, oh, I've got so much to do. Gee whiz, there's so much to do. And there's always something to do. That's why I think women live longer than men. We can't afford to die. We've always got something we've got to do. It's either laundry, sweeping a floor, taking care of the dog, the husband, whatever. We've always got something to do. However, I started doing a shift because I found myself going off on a tangent of being anxious. And what I started to do was make the affirmation, I have time to get things done. I have time to get things done. And I think that this is something that for me, and I share it with you because it might help you. Goodness gracious, we're in the holiday season, and I have yet to meet anyone that's just not looking at me somewhat frazzled, especially the gal. Not so much the guys, but the gal. It's like, I just don't know how I'm going to do it. I've got 45 people coming for dinner. I need to clean the house. We've got to take the dog to the vet. The relatives are fighting. I mean, you have all of these things that go on, and it just seems like Murphy's Law. If one thing goes wrong, it seems like one thing right after the other seems to go wrong. Well, if you can take a deep breath, and you can do this quietly and just say, I have the time to get things done, and maybe add the awareness of what John Erskine realized that his piano teacher had taught him. Do things in increments. I think that's one of the reasons why women are so effective at multitasking, because intuitively they are doing this anyway. They really are. And it's like you know you've got something going on, I'll toss in a little laundry. You go and you do something else, I'll go and do this. You overlap, you fold in, you think through how you're going to do what you're going to do. It is something that's great. But sometimes we do get to that positioning of overwhelm, and I'll tell you, another tip, when you get that way, ask yourself, do you need a nap? I don't care what your age is. When we get so tired we can't see straight, that's usually when things really start grabbing at us. So take a time out. Hey, we're always telling the kids, putting our hands together with a T, saying, time out, time out. Do it for yourself. It's okay. The world is going to continue to spin. I can guarantee that. And believe me, dirty dishes, whatever, they're not going anywhere. They're going to stay exactly where they're left. If that drives you nuts, put on a mask and just say, I'm out of here for 15 minutes. And then you'll come back refreshed. Do that for yourself. This season can just absolutely drive you bonkos if you let it. You want to be able to enjoy it and have fun with it. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I came across an absolutely delightful story that I thought I would share with you, and it's about a pastor in Red Key, Indiana, and his name is Randy Davis. And he said he oversees two small churches, and he just absolutely loves what he does. He just thoroughly enjoys the people that are in his congregations. And he said in the fall of 2011, one of his parishioners, who happened to be a very good friend from his army days, he happened to take his friend to an appointment at a local Veterans Affairs hospital. And while he was there, he just observed, and there were Okay. And so he talked to the chaplain that was on duty, and the chaplain says, check out the voluntary service office, which he did. He said, what are these people needing? Now, this is what he was told, and it was quite interesting to me. He said they could use fast food gift cards. And he goes, oh, that's interesting. Well, this is what he did. Facebook is incredible to me, and I am on a minus 45 when it comes to using Facebook, but obviously this pastor wasn't. He got the idea, popped into his head after talking with the voluntary service office at the VA hospital, of asking people to participate in a veterans gift card project. And he just wanted them to donate fast food cards in honor of the veterans so that they could be given, they could be gifted these cards. And he wanted to collect 150 cards before Christmas. Whoa, was he in for a big surprise. They went far past their goal. They collected 2,050 gift cards. Can you imagine getting all of those in the mail? That's right, he got them all in the mail. So he took them all to the VA, and they told them where he could hand them out, and he got to talk with each one of the people that got a card. And the extra ones that he had left over, he just gave to the voluntary service office, and they give them to patients and to the homeless veterans, of which we have too many to count. In 2012, they gave 11,310 meals to local vets, and they expect that this year they're going to even surpass that goal. And he said, wherever we find the vets, no matter where it is, they hand out the cards for a free burger, fries, and Coke, along with a handshake and a thank you. That is what this season is all about. Remembering gratitude. Gratitude for who we are, what we are, and that we truly live in an environment that allows us choice, allows us to be able to give as we want to give in the way we want to do it. It's a very special time of the year. Honor it. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break in just a moment. If you want to give me a call and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, call me at 888-627-6008. When we come back, well, we're going to talk a little bit about this, a little bit about that, and who knows what else. I'll be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top-of-the-line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. Boy, with the holidays, sometimes you wonder what you're going to fix. And I know that sweet potato pie is a favorite in our house. And that very much has to do with my husband's background in the South. But pumpkin is something that is really good. And I have this wonderful recipe. And I know you probably have one of your favorites. But Denise Lynn and Meadow Lynn, in their Mystic Cookbook, The Secret Alchemy of Food, did a little bit of a different twist with their crust. And I thought I would share it with you, and then also what they added in their pumpkin pie, because it is something that is so scrumptious. And you may have your favorite crust recipe. I have mine. But this one is made with brown rice flour, potato starch, tapioca flour, and coconut oil. So if you're someone that needs gluten-free, this is going to suit you just perfectly. Now, your oven needs to be heated to 425 degrees, and in the bowl of a mixer, these are the ingredients, first of all, that you need to assemble. This is for the crust. 3/4 of a cup of brown rice flour, 3/4 of a cup of potato starch flour, and you can get this in your health food stores, and Bob's Red Mill has this you can also get in the store. It's not regular flour. This is potato starch. 3 tablespoons of tapioca flour, 1 tablespoon of sugar, 1/4 of a teaspoon of salt, 1/3 of a cup of coconut oil, and you want the coconut oil solid. That's right, you want it solid. 1 large egg and 3 teaspoons of water. Now, this is what you do for your crust. You combine your brown rice flour, the potato starch, tapioca flour, sugar, and salt. Now, when you're measuring gluten-free flour, this is something that is very important. To get the most accurate measurement, it's best to scoop the flour from the bag with a spoon rather than dipping in a measuring cup. And that even goes for standard flour. I mean, that's just the reality. You want to mix that, those ingredients, to combine. Then you add the coconut oil. And if it's a hot day and the coconut oil is liquid, put it in the refrigerator until it solidifies. It doesn't work well in the recipe if it's not solid. Add your egg and water. Mix it on medium-low until fully combined and the dough starts to come together. You turn off your mixer, gather the dough with your hands into a ball. It's not necessary to chill the dough. It's going to be very difficult to work with, according to Denise and Meadow, if the dough is chilled, so you want it at room temperature. And you're with your palms, you're going to make the dough into a flat disc, put it between two pieces of wax paper with a rolling pin, roll it into approximately a 12-inch disc, remove the top piece of the wax paper, put it in the pie plate. That's right. And then you can use your fingers to repair any rips that might come up and then crimp your dough on the rim of the pie plate with your fingers. That's just what we do with any pie crust, right? Now, the filling, this is what they use. 2 cups of canned pumpkin, 1/4 of a cup of sugar, 1/4 of a cup of brown sugar, and 1/2 a teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/2 a teaspoon of freshly grated nutmeg, and do use the freshly grated, the difference is amazing, 1/4 of a teaspoon of cloves, 1 teaspoon of freshly grated ginger, 3 large eggs, slightly beaten, 1 1/2 cups of canned coconut milk. Instead of regular milk, use coconut milk. You don't use the light version of the coconut milk, though. The fats in the milk are very necessary for the texture of the pumpkin to be what it will be. This is how simple it is. You put your pumpkin with your sugars, your salt, cinnamon, nutmeg, all the spices, the fresh ginger, and you stir it until it's fully combined. Add the eggs, coconut milk, zap it with a mixer, pour the custard mixture into the pie shell, and you bake it in your middle rack of the oven, on the middle rack of the oven at 425 degrees for 15 minutes. Reduce the temperature to 325. Bake it for an additional hour. When the crust is golden brown and the filling is fully set, you bring it out. And if you're like me, your crust will sometimes get too brown. All you need to do is take a piece of foil. When you notice the crust getting darker than what you want, just put that foil on top of the pie. It'll continue to bake beautifully, and you will not have the burnt crust. And everybody's oven is different. But that recipe is absolutely awesome. And I'm also going to have that in my newsletter. In fact, in my newsletter that's coming out on the 1st, you're going to find the recipe for shortbread that I made and also this pumpkin pie recipe. So I think this is just marvelous. And so many people today, I've had a number of friends that have ended up having a gluten intolerance. And this has happened, and they're not young people. They're mature people in their 40s and 50s and maybe even older. I'm really surprised at how this is evolving. So it is something that you may want to ask your guests that you're having if they have any particular allergies or something of a unique nature dietarily that maybe you need to pay attention to. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. One of the things I wanted to share with you is one of these surveys. I just love these surveys. They always have something that they are evaluating in these surveys, and I honestly wonder how people ever have the time to do this, and who comes up with these concepts. Being that we're in this period of being grateful and being thankful for what we have, kindness, just like the pastor I was sharing the story with you about, kindness and thoughtfulness goes right along with gratitude. And this is someone that said this is what they checked out, that people that like to do random acts of kindness, what they find out that this individual, if you like to do things on a spontaneous basis, all of a sudden you're just going to do something for somebody. You're a spontaneous change agent. Whoa, is that a good label or no? That's right. Thoughtful acts, whether you're in the car driving and you let someone go in ahead of you, or you just make sure that your patient, maybe because of a little kid that's very irritated, being tired, that might be with its mom in front of you, you like to be a catalyst. What happens when you do those random acts of kindness? It starts a domino effect of positive results from one person to the next. And you don't need to see the result. You just do it because you like to do it. You feel that doing the right thing is its own reward. Now, what if you're very practical and you think things out about the things that you want to do that are nice to do? Whether it's bringing in the mail for your next-door neighbor, maybe volunteering at a shelter or in some other way, you believe charity not only begins at home, but it makes your life a richer one. And you like to make tangible changes in the world. Mm-hmm. Tangible changes. You feel that it's important to be present with everything that you do. Now, if you have a feeling that what you want to do is nurture, maybe it's with animals, and you just have way all the way around. That's just a part of your nature. You're very nurturing. You want to make sure everything and everybody around you is comfortable. Well, you are going to be the heart of whatever group you're within. And if you're someone that really believes that it's forgiveness and doing things for the right reasons, you're future focused, yes, and you're very patient, you have a very deep sense of spirituality, and that's very important for you. And creative acts of kindness. What if you decide you want to make things for babies, or you crochet socks for vets, or you do something else for someone else? You like to have busy hands. Maybe you bake cookies and you take them in to your church. Well, you are what would be described as a serene giver. Those are nice things, aren't they? I think so. This is Donna Sebo. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just know you're blessed. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You're so important. Your light shines in its own specific way, in its own manner. And we really appreciate you. And I want you to know, I'm so grateful that you joined me at my broadcasting table here. Won't you join me again tomorrow? We're traveling to England, and we're going to be talking crystals. God bless. Have an absolutely magnificent day or evening, wherever you are in this fabulous planet of ours. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.